Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me. I'm sorry for the short delay. What I was hoping to do is to say a few words that provides a little bit more context to the Medicare debate, and also to talk a little bit about high gasoline prices. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. But if I could just start on the Medicare vote yesterday. I don't think anybody really seriously contests the fact that Medicare is in terrible shape. The trustees predict that the hospital part of Medicare will be insolvent by 2019. And more to the point of what happened on the physician payment issue is that in 1997, Congress proceeded with, I think, what is clearly an ill-advised budget scheme to try to cut progressively physician reimbursement payments as a way to control Medicare spending. The problem with that is that Congress, since that time, has only allowed one of those cuts to go into effect, leading me to conclude, and I think this is a fair conclusion, that Congress really is never going to allow those cuts to go into effect when it comes to physician reimbursement. And frankly, I think that's a good thing, that we don't let those cuts go into effect, because what happens is that now only about 58% of Texas physicians are accepting new Medicare patients because the reimbursement rates are already so low. Obviously, additional cuts would mean that the promise of Medicare was a hollow promise when, in fact, many physicians can't take new patients because of the below-market rates for physician payments. So the debate really was not about whether the cuts would take effect, but what both the process and the substance of the bill that would be passed. The debate on the bill that actually passed yesterday really broke down along the lines that Medicare Advantage, which is a private sector alternative to traditional Medicare, was something that many of us, and I'm one of them, felt that is important to provide more choices and to hopefully inject into this part of Medicare what we have seen as beneficial in Medicare Part D, which is the prescription drug bill, which is dramatically reduced prices and improved range of services due to competition in the private sector, something that doesn't happen if only the government is providing the service, as had been the case under traditional Medicare. But it was obviously in the end, it looked like the bill, that we weren't going to be able to improve the bill, and we were blocked from offering a permanent solution to prevent these periodic crises every 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, when we know it's going to be kind of a replay of what we've seen these past couple weeks, when in fact no one believes, and I include myself among those, that these physician cuts are a good idea. So ultimately I voted to support reversing the physician cut, even though I disagree with the flawed bill and the flawed process that doesn't provide a permanent solution. Let me just move quickly to gasoline prices. I think there's a growing consensus on a bipartisan basis. Certainly the American people is moving to this position, if you believe public opinion polls, that we've got to do something both on the demand side and on the supply side when it comes to energy prices. And so we started with a bill called the Gas Reduction Act of 2008, which was primarily started on the Republican side. We had 44, I believe, co-sponsors of that bill. But the idea was then to reach out to the Democrats, who would join us in addressing the supply issue and producing more domestic energy, and that would primarily occur as a result of Congress lifting moratoria that had been issued on outer continental shelf development since the early 80s, and lifting the ban on producing from the oil shale out west in Utah, Wyoming, and in that area. Predictions are that we could produce as many as 3 million additional barrels of oil domestically if we were to open up America's natural resources here. But clearly, everyone understands that the problem globally is with rising economies like China and India, where demand is exceeding supply. That's not going to get any better. But one thing this would allow us to do in the near term would be to buy less oil from overseas, and it would, I think, send a message to the commodities futures markets that Congress was serious about producing some additional supply here at home so that we would have to purchase less. But no one believes that we're going to be an oil-based economy 20 years from now that I know of, although the biggest challenge we have is in transportation, because obviously aviation fluids and oil and gas, or cars driven on gasoline, are going to be a huge part of our consumption over the next 20 years probably. In the meantime, what we're doing is we're seeing things like battery technology being improved, and this bill would actually invest money into more research into improved batteries so that when GM and the major car manufacturers roll out these hybrid cars in 2010, which you can literally plug into a wall socket at night and recharge the battery, that they will actually have greater range and greater flexibility. But the problem we have is that none of this is going to happen overnight. All of this is going to take time to do because there's 240 million cars on the roads in America, roughly, and they're roughly 9 years old. So we're not going to turn over those the current inventory of cars on the road immediately, even when this new technology occurs. So I think a balanced policy of conservation, new technology, obviously renewables are very important, but those are going to be not directly related to how we drive our cars and our fly airplanes by and large, and then producing additional supply, hopefully to give the commodities futures markets a signal that Congress is going to be part of the solution rather than just part of the problem by restricting American natural resources. Let me just finally say, I tell people that for those who wonder whether we can actually explore and develop those resources in a way that's compatible with the safety and security of our people and a good environment, all they need to fly in and out of DFW Airport to see the gas wells being drilled into the Barnett Shale there, and of course around Fort Worth, where that's happening every day. Of course, modern drilling technology can be done. Modern drilling can be done in a way that preserves the environment. We saw that with Hurricane Rita and Hurricane Katrina blowing through the Gulf of Mexico, where virtually nary a drop of oil was spilled. So those are just a couple of areas that I wanted to share with you, maybe give you a little bit more depth than you might otherwise get. And as always, we're glad to answer your questions or provide you any additional information you would like. Any questions?
Still there?
Yes, sir.
Connor Harrison from the Kerrville Daily Times. Good morning, Senator. Just wanted to see if you could outline your proposal, the Ensuring the Future of Physicians Workplace Act of 2008. Just go over the high points of that quickly, if you would.
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, as I indicated, these periodic cuts have been routinely reversed by Congress have been programmed into federal law. Matter of fact, while the vote yesterday reversed about a 10% cut, mm-hmm. There's another one scheduled for 20% in 18 months. Thus, I felt it was important to provide not just a temporary patch, but a permanent solution to that by admitting that these progressive cuts are never going to go into effect because of their impact on access to physicians. And so we ought to basically admit that and start over again and provide a different measure of costs and reimbursement for physicians, because obviously low reimbursement rates affect physicians' ability and willingness to take new Medicare patients. So basically what this would do is scrap the what's called the sustainable growth rate, which is the formula now used that mandates these progressive cuts unless reversed, and start over with a new market basket of measures called the Medicare, it's the MEI. Can't remember what the E stands for right now. I'll come to me. But basically, it starts over with a new formula that will, I think, provide a fairer, more rational reimbursement rate, and not and avoid this crisis atmosphere that occurs every 6 months, 12 months, or 18 months in order to avoid one of these draconian cuts. It's called the MEI, the Medicare Expenditure Index, which, a medical expenditure index that would be replace the SGR, or sustainable growth rate, which is what mandates these cuts periodically.
Okay. And a follow-up question, what's it going to take to get that bill through? Any bipartisan support for that bill at all?
Well, that's part of the problem here in Congress, and I think part of the misunderstanding over this, how Congress operates. Congress, unfortunately, does not tend to anticipate problems and deal with them before they occur, but rather to deal with them when public opinion is strong, that we have to act. And unfortunately, the action we saw yesterday was another temporary patch for 18 months, preceding another 20% cut, as I said. So unfortunately, by passing those temporary patches, it takes a lot of pressure off the Congress to do anything until we bump up against the next 20% cut.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to pass it. I offered the bill yesterday. It was objected to. This is legislation that last March I worked with very closely with the Texas Medical Association on because of the problems we all recognize, but would provide a permanent solution. Unfortunately, it was blocked by an objection by Senator Baucus, the chairman of this Senate Finance Committee. So with the pressure off now for 18 months, I'm going to keep pushing, but it makes my job harder.
Mm-hmm. Senator?
Yes, sir.
This is John Kanellis up in Amarillo at the Globe News.
Hey, John.
Hey. in your, I'm going to get back to energy for just a minute. You talked an awful lot about fossil fuel development,
right,
and in your statement there, and wind generation is getting a lot of traction up here.
Absolutely.
And we're can you tell us what we can do here? What can the federal government do to incentivize the development of wind and other alternative sources of energy? I also didn't hear much from you about nuclear power as well.
Yeah, that wasn't an intentional omission. I'm a strong supporter of nuclear power. You know, we generate about 20% of our electricity from nuclear. France, for example, generates 80%.
Right.
And we got a lot of room to grow. And from an environmental standpoint, and just from a power standpoint, nuclear has to be part of it. I was just in Sweetwater at a wind farm a week ago, Monday, and obviously Texas is coming on very strong in use of wind energy. Boone Pickens, of course, has been all over everywhere on that issue. The challenge we have, though, with wind and solar and other renewables is liquid fuel for cars and airplanes. I mean, you can generate electricity from wind, and you can generate electricity from solar. You have problems with transmission lines and storage of that electricity. That electricity, until we develop these new hybrid cars, which actually will use the electricity to charge the battery, which will then run the car, it's going to take us a while to transition from an oil-based transportation fuel source. But I support, as I've told people before, I'm kind of an all-of-the-above guy, kind of guy. I don't think you can just say supply of oil is going to get us where we need to go. It's clearly not. It's going to take conservation. It's going to take these renewables. and it's going to take development of our own of the oil we have here in America, but in the, and it's going to take, in terms of electricity generation, nuclear power. It's going to take research into clean coal burning technologies, and in order to get us where we need to be, which is free from the stranglehold that oil has over our economy and our national security.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John. Any other questions? Well, thank you all for joining us. I know there's some other folks who've just captured the audio for later use, but appreciate the opportunity to answer some questions. Thanks a lot, Ed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.